WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Writer and performer David Kale has a new show called Somebody Else's House, which is now playing at the Studio Theater in Washington, D.C. We've invited him to do an excerpt of it. In Somebody Else's House, Kale creates a dozen characters who explore their own lives and identities through relationships with others, by living through others, in fantasies, or even in the mirror. They range from Martin, an Irishman struggling with the bottle, his marriage, God, and the devil, to Sissy, a young man who fashions his existence based on Sissy Spacek and the movie Badlands, which he's just seen, to Tommy, a woman who believes she's a man living in a woman's body. In this excerpt, called Something Real, we meet Dorothy, a British woman in her early 40s.
You probably want to ask me about my affair with Leonard Cohen. Let me say off the bat, I really don't like doing interviews. That being a given, not many people realize that Leonard wrote Suzanne about me. The song was originally called Dorothy, my name. Leonard felt it was too much of a mouthful, so he changed it. Poetic license on his part, I suppose. It's just as well. The rumour mill in this SRO would have been grinding with me in it. When I met Mr. Cohen, he was just a struggling, up-and-coming, brilliant bisexual poet who had a tendency towards excessive verbiage and lyric melancholia. I liked him immediately. He possessed that combination of little boy sweetness and pure masochism that will always be my undoing. I had casually gone backstage at a poetry reading, along with a whole slew of literary aficionados. Leonard noticed me right away. The look that went between us was so intense. I tell you, the rest of the room disappeared, our eyes locked like handcuffs. Destiny was working overtime. He inquired if I'd eaten, said there was a little health food bistro that he'd like to frequent. Would I care for a bran muffin and a lemon zinger? 20 minutes later, health food was but a memory, and we were rolling around on the dressing room floor, engaged in what I can only describe as a bizarre extension of 69. Well, thank God I had taken that evening course in yoga at the Young Men's Christian Association. Leonard was, above all, drawn to my gallows humour, combined with my positive outlook on life. If I had a dollar for every time I had to tell him to lighten up, I wouldn't be living in Shepherd's Bush, believe you me. And I think he'd also heard about the thing with James Taylor, and that gave me a certain... mistoire. Oh, I'm being candid now. He knew a little bit about it, but nobody knew what went down at the end. James Taylor. Talk about standing on shaky ground. He may have seen fire and rain, but I have seen a raving lunatic running around the house, brandishing a bag of razor blades. Don't get me started about James Taylor. Anyway, after he wrote that song about me, Leonard's career began to take off. He was on the road a lot. He would fly me to different cities to be with him. I was always in hotel rooms. Those concerts always ran over. He was never there when he said he would be. I spent most of my time waiting. Leonard's secret, only to come out in the lyric of a song. And then to have your name changed and end up being covered by Judy Collins. The final indignity. I never did trust her. I'm on the record as saying, never trust people that live in the clouds. And I'm right. But work was always first with Leonard. I knew this up front. CBS was running around him. I was in the hotel rooms giving reassurance, rewriting songs for him. The folk life wasn't all it was cracked up to be. I met John Denver on one of Leonard's tours. I was at my most vulnerable. John Denver wanted me, but I was loyal to Leonard. Besides, he had such a strange mouth. Too large, really. He reminded me of a frog, so I declined. But I did like that song of his about Jacques Cousteau. I said, I can't, John. But I will always respect you for that high calypso song. I did. Though I must say the sunshine song left me quite cold. But work was everything for Leonard. I knew I'd lose him to it. It was in a hotel in Montreal. I said, your work is your love, Leonard. You don't need me. You're married to your muse. I can't live like this. I'm leaving. He said, hey. Which he often did. Hey. That's no way to say goodbye. And then he had the nerve to ask if I had a pencil and a piece of paper. It's true that all the men you knew were dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. I know that kind of man, it's hard to hold the hand of anyone who is reaching for the sky just to surrender. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. How true. Oh, Leonard, you left your mark. I was just a piece of vinyl then, and you made the grooves. Now every time someone touches me, I start to sound like you. I should have left years ago, but what could I do? I've always had the willpower of a summer breeze. At the moment, I'm seeing Chris Isaak. He's a handful, but he's so young. I know he feels more for me than I do him. What can you do? The other night, he fell asleep on my couch in his underwear, and I wrote him a poem, which I have with me, as luck would have it. Christopher. He comes to me behind the other's backs. He scratches at my hotel door. I tell myself I'm smarter than this situation. Oh, Christopher. Oh, Christopher. I see his face on magazines now. I watch him laugh on all the talk shows. I see his song climb up the charts. I don't belong in these hotel rooms. Oh, Christopher. Oh, Christopher. He has girls around him all the time, and they're always the same. He sits up the bar and kisses them. Like some wicked game. The clever part. Oh, Christopher. Oh, Christopher. I don't belong in these hotel rooms. I don't know where men in the limelight are drawn to me. I think they see me as something real in the unreality of their lives. Something to keep them in touch with what they were before they became what they are today. I don't hold any grudges. But I have to say, as lovely as you've been, I really don't like giving interviews.
David Kael, performing an excerpt of his new show, Somebody Else's House. He performs the show at the Studio Theater in Washington, D.C. through this Sunday. He'll take it to the Bayfront Theater in San Francisco this February.